Well, while they are getting changed, we want to turn our attention to God's Word. Throughout the series of Advent, we have been going through the writings of the prophet Isaiah, these passages that are foretelling of Christ and foretelling of our need for Christ. So if you have your Bibles, or you open up your app, or wherever you find God's Word, let's turn there to Isaiah chapter 64, and as we do, Mackenzie with our prayer team is going to come up and just pray for me as we get ready to open up God's Word. So let's pray together.
God, we just thank you for the message that we've already heard through our kids, and just thank you for that, the way that they led worship this morning, and we just pray that as Andrew gets ready to speak, you would open up our ears to what you're asking us to hear today, and we just pray that you would lay a message on Andrew's heart and give him the words to speak as we just spend this time together. Amen.
Thank you. So in Isaiah 64, written about 508 years before the time of Christ, the prophet writes these words. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains would tremble before you, as when fire sets twigs ablaze and causes water to boil. Come down and make your name known to your enemies and cause the nations to quake before you. For when you did awesome things that you did not expect, you came down and the mountains trembled before you. You can imagine the prophet recalling all of these ways that God has worked in the Old Testament. So whether that's in the Exodus story and you've got the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night, whether that's Elijah on the mountaintop with fire falling from heaven or the Red Sea parting, this idea of God intervening in a really dramatic way. Don't you sometimes just want that? God just like, show up, like help, come on, help and show up in some big, large, and in charge. Will you ever feel like that? Absolutely, absolutely. God, will you please do something like that? And of course, it's also working with the assumption that when God works in dramatic ways, those dramatic ways are more powerful. But as we keep reading, we discover part of what the problem is. And actually, as I'm reading, there's going to be some buckets going around. So if we can start buckets on both sides of the room, I want you to take out a ball of clay from inside the bucket. So that's what's inside there. Don't say you didn't come to church not getting anything, because you got a ball of clay this morning. But I want you to hold it in your hand. Everybody, please grab one. As we keep reading in verse 4, since ancient times, no one has heard, nor ear has perceived, nor eye has seen any God besides you who acts on behalf of those who wait for him. There's this assumption that God is sort of working as the moral authority of the universe. And so good people get rewarded and bad people don't. Only problem with the idea that good people get rewarded. Well, let's keep reading. But when we continue to sin against him, you were angry. So how then can we be saved? All of us have become like one who is unclean. All of our righteous acts, think about that. All of your good intentions, all the ways that you reach out to help, all of the times you stop to help someone on the side of the road, all of the times you give to charity, all of those great things, and we're glad you do them, and that's wonderful, but all of them, in comparison to the holiness of God, are like filthy rags, like a grease cloth. We all shrivel up like a leaf, and like the wind, our sins sweep us away. We shrivel up like a leaf, like the wind, our sins sweep us away. I am never going to gossip again. I just see the damage that it does, and I can't believe I thought that. What do you do the next day? The same old thing, right? Can't believe I drank that much. I am never going to drink that much again. No. Why? Ever felt like that? Like sins, the things that you know you shouldn't do and you don't want even to do, but it's like you can't stop it, like you can't control it. I'm not going to hide that from my spouse. No way. I'm not hiding any of those receipts. We have an open and honest relationship. I'm always going to talk kindly to my kids and, you know, tell them how much I appreciate them. And I'm going to be a patient parent. I'm not going to let that stuff get under my skin. I ever felt like you're just blown away? Verse 7, no one calls on your name or strives to lay hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us, and you've given us over to our sin. Sometimes it feels like for all of our good intentions, all the things we try to do, all the things we long for, we are powerless before our own depravity. We just can't get it together. We can't do it on our own. We need God to intervene. So let's keep reading. And yet, I love it when there's a conjunction in passage in Scripture. It just tells us something's about to change. A new perspective is coming. Yet, you, Lord, are our what? Our Father. We are the
clay.
Take that ball of clay. Just squeeze it in your hands. How's it feel? Is it dry?
No.
Is it, some of it's itchy? Squishy. Oh, I thought it said itchy. Itchy clay, that's cool. Just squeeze it in your hands. You are the clay, or we are the clay, and you, God, are the what?
Water.
We are all the work of your hands. As you squeeze the clay in your hands right now, just think about what kind of clay are you today? Not yesterday, not last week, right here, right now. What kind of clay are you today? Ever notice how when a potter is working a piece of clay, like maybe you're trying to make an elegant bowl or a cup or a something, that clay spins on the potter's wheel. Sometimes for a very long time. It's not fun getting spun around, is it? The most elegant pieces of pottery have been worked over. That clay has been kneaded, had its lumps bashed out and squished down. You feel squished down? With a potter and clay, the clay is not in charge, the potter is. But there are still things that the clay can do. Sometimes the clay is resistant. It's dried up. It's lumpy. It doesn't want to work. It doesn't want to give. It doesn't want to be molded. And so it takes longer and longer and longer for that potter to turn the clay into something. The good potter doesn't give up. Sometimes the clay, you know when clay gets dry, what do you have to do? What do you have to add to it?
Water.
Water. You're a smart guy. You add water to clay. Christian symbolism reminded of the waters of baptism. That when our hearts get hard, we need to go back to those same waters, those waters of repentance, those waters of a fresh start. Those places where you say, God, I'm giving myself over to you. I don't have it figured out, but I'm going to trust that you're going to take care of me. You go back to the water. You go back to the water, the clay gets soft again. What kind of clay are you this morning? Sometimes clay gets stretched. And Play-Doh doesn't stretch that far before it breaks. You feel stretched today? How long is it going to take? Am I going to break?
Yeah.
And yet it's that process of stretching and kneading for clay that makes it stronger
that makes it better. What if God's doing that in you? So often we want God to work in these great big dramatic ways, you know, just rip open the heavens, God, and come down. I was watching a thing on Hulu this past week, Jay Leno, you know, because I can't stay up until like 11 o'clock, otherwise I might. But anyways, it was this little segment on Tim Tebow, you know, that football player for the Denver Broncos, and he's doing really well, and he's expressing his faith. You get some fans of you guys,
yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? Okay. So he's expressing his faith, and so they do this like little video segment kind of laugh thing where you know he's playing and then Jay Leno's saying, "We think we figured out why he's doing so well," and there's this great big hand in the sky that's like zapping the other players. We kind of want God to show up like that. You know, big dramatic action. But what if God's most powerful work, or at least some of his most powerful work, because he can move with power, he can move in dramatic ways, but what if some of his most powerful work is actually in the subtle, is actually as subtle as a potter shaping a piece of clay? What if his work in you, some of his most powerful work, is in the subtle, is in the stuff that could easily be overlooked, like the Herdmans, you know, the family that you think couldn't make a difference and it ends up being the family that pulls the whole thing together. Kind of clear to you today. Part of the message of Christmas, this idea that God has come down. Just like the ancients cried out, "God, would you please come down and intervene here?" That God has. In fact, in John chapter 1, verses 10 through 14, we read about it this way. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. But he, meaning Jesus, came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, gave them the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father full of grace and truth. God came down to a manger of straw. We called, he came, and he comes, and to all who receive him, he gives them the right to become the children of God. To all who are available, you could say, the potter of the universe will work in their life, will mold them like a piece of clay. Just mold that clay in your hands. What I'm going to ask you to do in a moment until the worship team comes up, we're going to sing a little song and pray a little bit. And what I'd like you to do is, put your clay on the front of the stage in a shape that represents what God is doing in your life. Because, you know, for some today, maybe the most honest thing is just say, you know, I'm just sort of a water putty. I have no idea what God is doing in my life. I'm not sure if I'm available. I'm not sure about anything. Maybe that's where you're at. Some of you might, maybe you're all flattened out. God is stretching me. I'm in pancake mode right now. Just bring it up. Place it on the stage. For some, you might just forget about it. You're just going to walk out, you're going to toss this in the garbage can. Maybe that's saying something about where your faith is right now, too. To all who are available, all who are moldable, wants to meet them, that wants to meet you. So what kind of clarity is that? What's he doing in here? Would you lead us in song?
Change my heart.